You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 9, Episode 27 coming your way this week. It's Kieran Burke and Gary Riley with you as ever. Once again, we're brought to you by our sponsor, Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. It's a Euro extravaganza on this week's podcast. We've got a couple of experts on. Peter Cinnamon from the Kicking Match Northern Irish League podcast. He joins us to look ahead to All-Ireland tie take two between Shelburne and Linfield. And Kevin Fernandez from the Long Ball Football podcast joins us to look ahead to Shamrock Rovers' trip to Santa Clara. Given some of you will be maybe listening after those games have taken place, we're going to leave the European stuff towards the end of the show, so it'll save you skipping over a bit. You can listen up until that point, and if you want to then not listen to that, then that's up to you. But some of you might listen anyway, even if Thursday has come and gone. So great to have you all along with us again this week. We're going to dip first into the FAI Cup review, though, before we get to the European stuff. We'll have the Predictions League later for the return of the league games this weekend. We've got the hotline at the end of the show as well, so all the usual bits. But Gaz, I think most people want to hear our thoughts on Sunday first, won't they? Shamrock Rovers 2, Longford Town 1, Longford 33-1 outsiders. And it took the champions elect two penalty kicks to down the town in the end. A valiant effort from Longford.
It was, yeah. Like two penalties, emptying the bench.
Should be illegal. Should be illegal. Them subs. Mantreu, Burke, Watts, Green, Grant. That's sick.
That is, yeah. But look, that's what they have. And fair play to them for that. Really unfortunate, the first penalty wasn't next or near a penalty.
So I was in line with that one, and I thought at the time that it was. And
yeah, I heard that from a few of you over there. It wasn't over that side.
I could kind of see it coming before it happened. I actually was mid-shouting out to O'Sheenan, don't stick your leg out. And he put the leg out. Now, who was it that went down? Do you remember?
I think it was McGovern.
Yeah, went down, and I thought it was a foul, but looking back at the replay, it's nowhere near it. It's a very unfortunate one.
Unfortunate is stubbing your toe. That's unfortunate. Like, you know, having a penalty given against you when it was a dive. Like, let's call it what it is. Sprawls himself out onto the floor.
Yeah, there was another one down below me late enough in the second half as well. If I'm not wrong, it was Trevor Clark chucked himself on the ground like a sack of spuds right in front of the linesman and the referee, and neither gave the dive.
I'm not saying that would have changed the game. I think Longford Town, based on their defensive performance and setup and all of that, probably deserved extra time.
Deserved extra time, yeah.
Yeah.
Like the likely outcome of extra time was that Longford, who were out on their feet for the last few minutes of the game, probably would have emptied out like a selection box at Christmas, and probably would have maybe lost 3 or 4-1. But you know, they earned the right to get that far.
That was taken
away from them with a couple of poor decisions.
Yeah, really was. I do think it was handball.
Was he shoved in the back?
He was digged in the back a bit. And I suppose he was already mid trying to header the ball. So his arm was already up there. I can see how the referee give it. I don't think anybody on the planet was looking for it to be given.
No.
I think
a Rovers fan actually tweeted us, and he said he thought he was pointing for a goal kick, the ref, and he was about to shout at him that it should be a corner. That was one of the few Rovers fans that turned up for the game, obviously.
Honestly, yeah. But still, look, a good crowd. It wasn't Longford Town coming to town. I thought it was good travelling support as well.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, look, it was disappointing that ref made.
You could probably argue
the second one, but definitely the first one. What was?
But even his overall management of the game was extremely poor. There was several times the Longford played on the counter attack and played it really well. I thought the big positive from a Longford point of view was the likes of Danny Norris. I've been saying it on commentary in recent games. You know, he missed a huge part of the start of the season.
Yeah,
but he really looks like he's getting back to full fitness now. In the last few weeks, we saw him get two goals in back-to-back games recently against Bray and Cove. He was unbelievable, particularly in the first half the other day against Rovers. he looked to me like he's got a lot of Premier Division experience under his belt before from UCD. He played like 50 Premier Division games. He looked to me the other day like a player that could step back up the Premier Division level.
100%,
Aaron Doran was fantastic. He looks like he could play in the Premier Division. And I really do think, without putting too much pressure on the lad, I think Darren Murtagh has got a big future ahead of him. It's difficult, a young lad coming in first season in senior football, to lead the line of a team that's been struggling and doesn't get many chances, and he has to work off scraps. But I think the way he runs the line, holds up the ball, his strength, I can see him having a good lengthy career ahead of him. So it was positive from a Longford point of view to see there's a few players there that, you know, they can kick on in their game. But I thought there was several times where Longford were on the break, players were hauled to the ground, taken out of it, no yellow card.
Adam Patchell isn't like an unknown entity in League of Ireland referee, and I thought it was a really poor performance.
So did I.
Particularly when I thought there was a couple of Longford Town players that probably could have done with a yellow card earlier on in the game. I was surprised Ferran Manuel didn't get a yellow card earlier. Just because he fouled three or four times in a row. And I was like, oh, geez, he was lucky to escape with that one there. So,
well, we know the officials listen to this, Paul. Maybe they were listening last week about the discussion about how many more booking points there has been.
Well, no,
I just want to pick up on that, actually, because this is something I should be doing every week, but it just escapes my mind at times. There is now the ability to leave comments on individual episodes on Spotify, which is great. And last week, Dan Shields, who's a Dundalk fan, he pointed out there is an extra round of games in the first division in the last few years, so that's helped increase the card points, but point still stands that there's 5+ yellows in every game and barely a bad tackle in any of them.
I understand that. Extra round of games,
yeah, if you go back, I don't know
how many. We only played 27 instead of 26.
We only played each other 3 times, yeah. I don't know how many years we've been playing each other 4 times now, but that would be something that obviously...
I'll concede that, because when I was looking at it, I was like, 10 teams or 8 teams. So fair enough. I would say, but then again, there was some years in the first division where there was 500 points, and I was averaging over 1,000.
If Alan Patchell was trying to save the points, then the ref that did the Harps game the other night, he certainly brought the average back up. There was I'll have to look here, but there was a ridiculous amount of cards in that Finn Harps game the other night.
Yeah, we'll come on to them. But look, I think I don't want to be hammering the I don't care about hammering the ref, but I think not saying that it would have changed the outcome, or if Longford would have got through or anything like that. I just thought the first penalty decision, and I think everybody was hoping from a Longford perspective not to concede early. You know, you tick away nicely as the game goes on, and you know, stuff can happen in your favour that way. So to give such a obvious dive as a penalty is just really poor, and he wasn't very far away from it either. So I thought that was quite poor. But look, I have to hand it to Longford Town. They went out with a game plan. They executed it extremely well, I thought. I thought Andy Spain was sensational throughout the game. The amount of stuff
he shared. Shame he gave away the penalty, because he had an unbelievable game.
Yeah, he had an unbelievable game. I don't think that takes away from it. I do think he got a puck in the back, which kind of forced him into, created the situation where he was going to handle the ball. Probably people listening to this maybe think I'm sounding biased, but if you looked at the whole game, I was quite happy with Longford Town.
Because Longford after they went 1-0 down, I thought, oh, here we go, 7 or 8-0 job. Because they conceded in the first 6 or 7 minutes. I thought, geez, this is going to be a long, long evening now. But Longford created the best chances then off the back of that. There was an unbelievable, lovely bit of play. I think it was O'Shea, Norris, and Doran all linked up. And
Jesus.
You're over the other side, but we were right behind that. We were getting ready. It looked like it was just going to drop into the net. I don't know how it didn't go in. From our angle, but that was a great bit of play. There was a couple of other little half chances off the back of that, and even towards the end, I know Frank Campbell had a shot. Now he didn't get much in it; was easily saved by the keeper. But Longford were keeping the Rovers' defence honest. I know for most of the game they were sat in, and Rovers hit the crossbar just before half time, and spent a lot of time in or around the Longford penalty area. But You would have expected that. Longford actually did create some chances in the game. It wasn't a total backs-to-the-wall situation.
Oh, no. It was almost total backs-to-the-wall.
It was, but you know what I mean? They did create the odd little chance here and there.
No, there was no question, and the goal was very well worked out. Some people saying it was offside. It was 40 mile onside. Well worked. Really poor defending, actually, from Rovers.
It was, but I thought McGinty had bailed him out. I thought he had saved the shot from
Rugbezia,
but it just slipped in under him, so he was unlucky there, the keeper. But yeah, not the sort of goal you'd expect the team top of the Premier Division to be conceding to a team down the lower reaches of the First Division, for sure.
Yeah, 100%. But look, I think Longford Town can be quite proud of their performance throughout the game. I think the biggest thing for the town now is, you know, you went up the Tala, you played Shamrock Rovers. You need to back it up now, away to Kerry on Friday.
It's you know, the fear there is after the Lord Mayor show, it's you know, they've played, I know it was one of the smallest crowds in Tala in many a year, but for Longford, they haven't played in front of a crowd like that too often in a setting like that. I mean, that's my first visit to Tala, I think, since the new stand went in. I was there a couple of times when it was being built, and it was nearly finished, but that's the first time I've been there since it's finished.
I think I'm the same.
It's an absolutely unbelievable stand. Like, it's beautiful to look at.
Break it off it, lad. Jesus.
It's class. The stadium looks really well. The pitch is obviously top-notch. So to go from that to then going to Mount Hawke Park to play on for what, for me, is the worst pitch in the league. I know Warrior gets a lot of heat, but I think that Astro Mount Hawke is rank rotten.
Oh, lad. No, I'll tell you, that's a serious hot take there. I'll tell you how that pitch is on Friday.
Well, you know, it's a bit of a come-down, so they've got to... They've got to be professional, go about it the right way. It was a great day out, above all else. Longford have had a kind of good little small cup run this year. I know beating Castlebar doesn't seem like much, but that was a great trip, a lovely away day. I think I spoke about that on the pod before. And up to Tala, and it was great. I had a quick pint in the Maldron, had to take out a small mortgage for that. Watched a bit of the United-Arsenal game and then walked on over to the ground and bumped into a few pod listeners on the way. So that's always good.
Yeah, no, good day out.
Bumped into one, actually. He was passing by in a taxi, and he let the window down to tell me something about Dundalk. I couldn't make out what he was saying, but something definitely about Dundalk, and that the podcast is shite. So thanks for listening.
Good man. He dedicated to the cause.
Like, you know, to be fair, Dundalk, you know, they've nearly died. They're in the First Division. Rovers would know a lot about that, of course. But still living rent-free in the man's head. I'd be bitter too if the best atmosphere ever created in my ground was when another team from an hour away came to play their European games there.
Jesus Christ, lad. Will you calm down?
The atmosphere in Tala is shite. Oh, no, I know, we're not talking about the other day because it was a cup game with a small crowd, but like, me and you went there for some of the Conference League games a couple of seasons ago, and for the setting that it is, I don't know, is that the sound travels out of the ground too easy? I know the corners obviously aren't filled in. That's probably the next thing for South Dublin County Council to do, but the noise just doesn't seem to stay in the ground. Although it seemed to stay in the ground when Dundalk was there, so I don't know.
Right, okay.
We'll move on.
Thank you.
Derry 1, Drogheda 1, Drogheda advance on pens. And Gary Riley, I think we should be calling you Mystic Meg this week on the pod. You said, in my mind's eye, I can see Luke Dennison making a couple of penalty saves, and that's exactly what he done. Derry missing all three of their spot kicks. This was filling of the togs of the highest order.
Oh, this was pro level stuff. This was, you know, ancient pedigree of tog filling here from Derry. I suppose, like, look, you have the luck on the penalties and all of that, but, you know, one person stepped up, Luke Dennison. The other penalty was blasted over. A real good example of where Derry are.
Mm.
Like, it's not really a good, well, it might be a good example, but I think it's just like, are we all surprised at all? No, not really.
No,
I
said it last week. They're further away from winning the league now than they were when Higgins was there. They're actually further away from winning anything than when Higgins was there.
100%. Like, I think, wasn't there an article there a week or two ago or something like that about Lynch going on about now's not the time for criticism or some shite like that? Like, you know, he should have been absolutely filling it over a statement like that. Who are you? What are you talking about? Like, you're not a team that's trying to rebuilding the first division. You know what I mean? Like, this is, you have to progress here. This is
not, especially when you're spending the level of money they've spent.
Oh, Jesus Christ. The amount of gathering that's going on up there. Well, the amount of money
a training center now. They're like, there is no excuses. The excuse they have is the shite pitch they play on. But aside from that, there is no excuse.
No, there is not. No, no. It's I'm not saying it's unacceptable, but we're getting towards that state. It's really poor stuff.
Just to balance it out here, we were talking a lot there about Longford, about controversial decisions. The Derry goal that's disallowed late on, what was your take on that?
Maybe I was being biased. I could see why it was.
It's definitely in the soft category, though, isn't it?
It's definitely in the soft category. You know, you'll probably see, you know, if that was, if Connolly didn't get his head on it and it was cleared, and maybe Connolly was dragged down, that wouldn't be given as a penalty in most cases. So I can see why people would say it was harsh.
It's amazing. Football's amazing. Like, Luke Dennison, the hero, the man of the hour, he got totally lost under that corner.
He did, yeah.
He could have been the man that cost him the game. He ends up winning the game for them in the penalty shootout. But,
and not only that, he made a very good save to tip it over the bar from a header from close range. I think it was a Mullen that maybe got the header.
I think he made a 1v1 save early in the game as well. I was at 40th on Saturday night, but I was watching it on the phone as best I could. And I think I remember him pulling out a good 1v1 save at one stage. Like I said it recently on the pod, he's pulled out, he must have made 10 plus 1v1 saves this season. You're always looking for a keeper to bail you out. For me, Dennison, he's still got little things in the game that he needs to iron out. As I was saying there, you know, it could have been a very different tale if that goal is allowed. But in terms of big moment saves this season, nobody has come near him in that category.
I don't think so, yeah.
He's head and shoulders above.
He's had a fantastic season. And, you know, that I think it was great for him to be the centre of attention, you know, saving the penalties away from home, saving them well as well. So, you know, they pass safely into the next round. And it's another, it's a big team that's gone out of the hat.
I mean, we'll get to the draw shortly, but I mean, anyone could end up at the Aviva now, the way it's going. Pats could be there, of course. They beat Shelburne by 2-0. We'll be talking Shells in a little while with Peter Cinnamon from the Kick and Match podcast to look ahead to that Linfield tie. But I mean, for Shells, really, it is all about that game against Linfield. If they progress there, that's grand. If not, then, you know, they're out of the cup. They haven't put up any sort of title defence. They won't have made the most of a generous European path. It would turn into a very, very desperate season for Shelburne. But look, let's hope they get the job done on Thursday. But for now, they're out of the cup and Pats are through.
Yeah, when you say it like that, you know, out of the cup with a bit of a whimper, out of the league for a good while, you could say.
Oh, yeah.
Losing Duffer. And now, you know, it's touch and go. I was talking to someone the other day about they'd know bits about football, but they were kind of like, how are they playing Linfield again? Just the way the draw happened,
do you think that's right? Because there's been a lot of commentary from Linfield folk that they're not happy with this at all and think UEFA should revisit this rule. What's your thoughts on it?
Couldn't give a shite, really. And not because Longford Town aren't in the conversation, it's just more stuff came out of a hat. You know, like maybe some of these balls were chilled and others were warmed and stuff like that. I don't know what and about that is, but like
somehow something tells me UEFA don't have a, you know, the skin in the game when it comes to the League of Ireland team.
Recently. Yes, yeah, exactly.
Over an Irish team, I don't know.
I think you'd be right there, but I think the main part is it came out of a hat. Like, yeah, if you want to take away like all two teams from the same country and all this other palaver, like it might be very hard to get a draw at all. I know it's a playoff and there's loads of teams been in it, but I think it came out of a hat. That's the way it is. I don't know. Talk to your priest about it for next season if you're that worried about it. Going on to the game, I know we're skipping on a bit, but Shells really need to get a hold of their season, and this is what it's riding on now at the moment, going out 2-0 against Pats. No major shame in it, but you're out of a lot of stuff come August, and that's not ideal for a team that's defending their title and was in the cup final a couple of years ago as well.
Your mate Git was obviously listening. He put up a big performance, a goal.
But he wasn't knocking about on for the European game the other night. But that wasn't unexpected, I don't think. I think we actually mentioned it on the pod.
Well, he played last 24, I think, against Besiktas the other night.
Oh yeah, I know that. But he didn't come on and start, like. And I know that was probably fair enough because they were 4-0 down or whatever. But
just they gave us some goal, didn't they, in the second leg?
Oh, they did. Yeah, it was fantastic. Like, you mentioned it with Longford Town there a few moments ago. Like, get it extra time, and the boys would have just turned it on. And that obviously proved to be the case. But it was great watching.
Yeah.
To see, oh shite, these boys are 2-0 up. And you text me after, as soon as it went 2-0 up, it was like, right, just get to halftime.
Get to halftime. Yeah.
Couldn't do it.
No.
But look, that's the class that like those players have. Like, Besiktas could be in any, hip or shite at any point in time. But with that level of class that they have is at their disposal.
I think we were saying it before the game kicked off. We were both watching it, and we were like, look at the stadium for a dead rubber game. Like, the atmosphere, the noise, like, it was unbelievable. Like, we're still a million miles away. I know Turkey is a much, much, much bigger country than Ireland, but like, it is an absolute religion over there, football. Just goes to show, like, we've made huge strides in Europe. We have a long, long way to go yet.
Exactly. Like, I don't know. It's who knows what Stephen Bradley will want, to make the next leap. Just every League of Ireland team just disintegrate and just combine into Shamrock Rovers to suit him. But yeah, look, getting back to this game, back to the cup. I thought the really well taken first goal, from media, but I thought the defending was absolutely dog shit. Did you see that?
I'm not going to lie, I didn't see this game.
Good man yourself. It's like the ball comes in from the right, or from Pat's left into media, and he's running through, and he takes a really good touch, but no one really comes out to meet him. And he just slots it into the corner, and it's just really, really shite defending. Like, you're looking at the lad, like, you know all about him. You've seen him a couple of times already this season, and to give him that space, and to defend so poorly is just unforgivable stuff. Really poor defending from Shells. And then, 5 minutes into the second half, they compounded with a handball. I can't remember who had their hand in the air, but it was well high in the air. And then Forrester slots away the penalty handy enough. So, good evening's work for Pats, no doubt about it. And on to the next round.
Yeah, and Sheldon's not the only Dublin club to fall by the wayside in the last 16. Bowes beaten 1-0 at home by Sligo Rovers, the famous Oasis kit. It exits the cup before Oasis even played. So we'll get all the puns, all the jokes out now for our Bowes listeners. Eldings Electric, don't look back in anger because it is too late now. Anything else for us, guys?
No.
You're not really an Oasis man?
No, don't really.
Looked unbelievable, to be fair. All the videos I've seen and everything.
Of course it did, yeah. But yeah. Sure. I don't know. I was at Dua Lipa, but when I was looking at videos after, I thought that looked good as well. Like, it's a big gig, like, loads of... It's done well, like... I suppose with the money that you're spending, Jesus Christ, I'd want to be.
Yeah.
Particularly for Oasis. Like, someone was on to me, oh, I got my ticket there, 505 to pay it.
Yeah. I'm in a group chat for something, and a lad put in that someone in the chat was selling their Oasis ticket. I think it was a standing ticket or couldn't see it. I'm not sure, but he put it in. Owner of ticket wants €500. No word of a lie. The lad that sent the text in replied to his own text 20 seconds later. Ticket sold.
Yeah. People are absolutely mad about it. And fair play to them. I hope everybody that went had a great night.
Not a good night for Bowes.
The penalty was dog shit. Good save by Sargent, to be fair to him. I think it was Dale Rooney that missed the penalty. And then what, 5-6 minutes later, Elding had it in the back of the net. Really lovely finish from Elding, to be fair to him. But not good from Bowes.
It was handy enough, like, from Elding. He didn't have to... it was a good strike, but it wasn't exactly the rocket he scored against him the last time. You know, he was kind of invited forward and...
Yeah, invited forward and like, it was real scramble, you know, mix them, gather them all. We have to scramble to get back and to cover it off. But I watched some of that game on Friday. Didn't see all of it. Really good work from Sligo. And, you know, they're really a bit of a addition to their season. There's no doubt about it. You know what I mean? Getting to the next round, knocking out Bowes in the process. Bowes' season is kind of floundering to shite, isn't it?
Ah, look, if they finish in the top four, qualify for Europe, it's a good season.
Oh, no, it's a good season, but, like, you know, there was a lot of promise there. There was a lot of, like...
Well, they were never going to win the title. All the talk about the games in hand and everything, they were never going to win the title. The Cup, obviously, was something they would have hoped to have won this season. Yeah. This is a disappointing way to go out, but I think if you give Bowes fans Europe at the start of the season... Particularly after the start they had and all the pressure that was on Reynolds, then they take it. I think this is probably just a welcome reminder that, you know, they're not the finished article and nowhere near it.
And nowhere near it. You have a long way to go. Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
I was surprised by this result because Sligo had just... I thought they'd lost a little bit of momentum in the last few weeks and had kind of half left the door open for Cork City again. Now, I don't expect Cork to catch them for a second, but I thought that maybe... They just run out of steam at the wrong time going into this one, and Bowes at home would have fancied them, but nope, wasn't to be. Then with the Galway Derby, Salthill Devon 0, Galway United 4, the League of Ireland class shining through in this one. But great to see such a split crowd. There was, from what I'm told from people that were at this, you know, there was a good couple of hundred Salthill Devon fans, and then the rest was Galway fans. So. Like I'm sure you remember going to him in DC Park on the drum when Salthill Devon and SD Galway were playing. It'd be 150 people max would be there, 100 people, and most of that would be the away support. So I know the two clubs work very closely together to promote this game. They were promoting it for months and months and months, and that seems to have paid off in the end. So that's good. But a nice pick me up for Galway, who very much needed it.
Yeah, absolutely. They just needed to score a few goals or some. Nice finish, and it was really, I thought, well-worked goals and probably a good display as to, you know, the difference in levels, to be honest. But I suppose, you know, that was always going to happen. I don't think there's any question that Salthill were going to do an upset. I think that the levels...
Well, we both thought it would be tight last week. I think we both went for like 2-1 scorelines in this.
Yeah, but... We were always very confident that Galway were going to win.
Yeah, of course.
Same time, like, you know, we were trying to maybe being kind to Salthill, you know, a game down the road, nice big stadium, load, you know, would have been a bigger crowd. So, you know, there's a lot of good stuff there. So, definitely a good result for Galway, no doubt, but some well worked goals, but nothing to be overly excited about. Good to get a bit of a relief of a win and a clean sheet.
Now, you said there a couple of moments ago that Bowes season is kind of floundering to nothing. Is the same thing happening to Bray? They were beaten 3-1 by Harps. For Harps, like, this is, the cup is turning into their entire season. It's been a great run for them.
I don't think if you said that to any Harps man, you'd be saying that or they'd agree with you, because like, there's definitely hope and prayers that they're going to qualify for the playoffs. So I don't want to cut them off or cut them at the butt by saying, oh yeah, we've our whole season rides on this. Good performance, especially after going 1-0 down. I thought some of the defending from Bray was really poor. The first goal was kind of, it was a free header straight over the head of the keeper. The second goal was equally shit defending, lots of statues there. Man runs into the box. He's just a tap in from 6 yards out. Next, you know, it's 2-1 after 25 minutes, and maybe Bray are thinking, oh shit, how do we get out of this? And then what? Like, if you look back at it, I think it was like 3 or 4 minutes later, it was 3-1. from the penalty spot. Stupid little tackle. No real need to make it. I think there was cover there that could have stopped the striker from getting doing any further damage. And yeah, so that was the tail of that tape. But
you might be right, actually, about Harps. I kind of would have said no real chance of making the playoffs. But just looking at their upcoming league fixtures, three of the next four are home against Athlone, Treaty and Wexford. And they have an away trip to Longford, who are level on points with them. So if they get a good, healthy return out of that, and they've got a game in hand on the teams above them, they're only 7 points outside the playoffs. So good, healthy return from the possible 12 points on offer there, and that they could be right in the mix.
Yeah, absolutely. There's they have an opportunity here. Like, the season has kind of opened up for them a little bit, particularly with the fixtures that you mentioned that they have ahead of them. Like, what's it, that Wexford one is obviously huge, Treaty as well, and then obviously the team level on points with them, Longford. So like, there is huge opportunity for them to reel in Treaty and Wexford ahead of them.
Yeah, because just looking at Longford's upcoming fixtures, like, you could see them getting points, but it's probably not as easy, if that's the right word to use, as the run of games that Harps have coming up. Longford away to Kerry, we've spoken about the difficulties of that fixture. They're at home to Wexford, where they've had, you know, great results in recent times. You'd nearly expect Longford to win that the way it's going. Then they're at home to Harps in what could be
a key game, really.
You know, one team getting knocked out of the equation, really. And then Longford away to UCD, home to Dundalk, away to Bray, away to Treaty, home to Cove, last games against Athlone. But like, they've got a difficult enough run in there, Longford. So you'd probably make Harps slight favourites to finish above Longford, and whether that's enough to get into the playoffs, who knows. But they'll be in the next round of the Cup, Finn Harps, after that 3-1 win against Bray. 9 yellows and 1 red in that game.
Yeah, did you see the red card? No, you didn't do any.
I did see it, but it was foggy.
It was foggy, was
refresh,
it?
Refresh the memory there.
It was kind of like a ball just like kind of popped up. And was it O'Neill? Can you remember who got set off in that game? Hold on, let me tell you.
It was O'Neill, yeah.
Was it, yeah? Mm. The ball was kind of there, but I think he got the whole leg of the man.
Yeah, well, he got a straight red, and he'd been booked earlier on, so the referee obviously felt it was, you know, high and excessive and all the rest.
Well, no, it wasn't high, but it's just the way he got him. More than that, like, it wasn't a slide tackle or anything like that. It was just like how he tried to protect the ball, but he had to go through the man to do it. I think he did probably catch him high on the back of his leg, though, but it wasn't like a 2-footed sliding challenge or anything like that. So I think it was the right decision, though.
Okay. Right, where are we then? That leaves us with one more, and that was the Munster Derby. Cork City 2, Waterford 1. Waterford, maybe another team whose season is starting to fizzle out a little bit. Cork, they would have preferred if there was 3 points on the line here, I think. But, you know, they have picked up a little bit of form in recent weeks, in fairness to them.
Yeah, 100%. They did. It was a good performance, good result, I think, is what you really wanted. They scored early enough, cross in from deep, and I think it was just poor defending, just letting your man go to knock it in. But it was a huge start for Cork, and I think psychologically they needed it, no doubt about it. Whatever we're getting through to the next round is obviously positive, but get one over on a Premier Division, I don't want to say rival, I don't think they're that there yet, but to dig it out, get the win on the night was hugely important for them. But will they be able to translate that into the league? I'm not so sure. Although they've won Beck Galway, drew it home to Derry, a win against Waterford. They're playing Bowes in Daly Mount on Friday. Could they get something there?
Do you know, I think the problem is that they might continue this little bit of a run they're on, even if they don't get a result against Bowes, that they might pick up points elsewhere between now and the end of the season. But I think Sligo probably will continue to pick up results as well. It's a 7-point gap. Few points to go, like, or a few games to go, excuse me. Like, Sligo away to Waterford, home to Bowes, away to Galway. Could see them picking up a few results there against maybe Waterford, and you could see them picking up points in all them games, maybe, the way it's going at the minute. So,
yep.
Yeah, I just think the gap is too big for Waterford or for Cork City, unfortunately. Right, quarterfinal draw, Finn Harps against Cork City. Maybe that's a look into next year as well. Kerry against Sligo Rovers, first meeting ever of the two. Pats up against Galway. It's Kenny against Caulfield once again. And Drogheda United against Shamrock Rovers, undoubtedly the tie of the round. Who's winning the cup from here? By the way, I'm disgusted with my prediction from the get-go. It was Derry. I'm disgusted with myself. The boys couldn't win a participation medal at the minute, let alone a raffle or any other cliche here.
Yeah.
About the place.
I think the winner will probably come out of Drogs and Rovers.
Hmm.
I think we could be onto a double here for Rovers.
You think, yeah?
Particularly like a lot of the shit.
That's the worst tie they probably could have got.
It is the worst tie.
I think they would have preferred to go away to Pats than go away to Drogheda.
Yeah, but they might have preferred a home game against Kerry.
Oh, of course they would.
Do you know what I mean? Like you know, Longford Town might have preferred a home game against Kerry. It would be in the next round of the cup, like, you know. I think there's absolutely nothing to fear for Shamrock Rovers out of any of the other quarterfinals. They would beat the piss out of any of them when it comes down to it. I think we could be onto a double here for Shamrock Rovers this season.
I think you could, if they get through that tie, you could be right.
Yeah, yeah. They already played the most difficult tie already. They squeezed by Longford Town, so shame.
The only thing, if they get to the final and maybe they meet a Pats, if Rovers are in the group stages of Europe.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but like, I wouldn't hang me hat on Pats either. You know what I mean? They could very handily slip up against Galway. No, none of this is set in stone. Well, obviously it's not, but like, I have much more confidence in Shamrock Rovers beating Drogheda. I know Drogheda have caused some problems in years past, but I think the record for Shamrock Rovers is actually quite decent up in Sullivan and Lamb Park, as it's now known. I don't think they've lost there in a couple of years. And as we saw, you know, they can mix it right with the options that they have on the bench. One thing you do have to give Bradley credit for is how he's managing his squad on a few different fronts. Now, I know you probably don't have to do less managing when you're playing like a team in the bottom half of the first division, but he's still doing it very well. So I don't think there'll be any concern if they get onto the later stages of the Europa competition or conference or whatever it is.
Right, that was the FAI Cup part of the show. Before we move into the BTS LOI Podcast Predictions League, we're going to be starting with the Premier Division games in that. We're going to bring you our first interview of the night, and we are going to look ahead now to Shelburne against Linfield, the playoff round of the Conference League. Delighted to join us on the show to look ahead to this is a Niffle expert. That is Peter Cinnamon from the Kicking Match podcast. We caught up with Peter in anticipation of the All-Ireland Derby, take two. Now, a huge week coming up for the League of Ireland in Europe and ahead of Shelburne's tie against Linfield in the playoff round of the Europa Conference League. I'm delighted to say we're joined by the host of Kicking Match, an Irish League podcast. That is Peter Cinnamon, who joined us now to look ahead to that All-Ireland tie. Take two, Peter. Great to have you along with us. I've been following a lot of, I suppose, commentary.
Big week, Kieran.
Yeah, I've been following a lot of commentary in the lead-up to this tie, I suppose. And is it fair to say there's a bit of frustration within Linfield that, you know, they have to play the same opponent twice in the space of 6 weeks? It seems to have really irked a few people.
It's funny, I think Chris Shields has been the man that's led a bit of that talk. Look, let's be clear. I think as much as Linfield are going into this game not as favourites, there is a lot of other teams from a lot more difficult leagues that would pretty much mean this tie would be a non-goer, which I'm sure they would not want to be playing against. So as much as they are going into this, the underdogs, I think they would take it in the circumstances. Lorne, in their journey to getting through last season, probably looks a bit easier upon reflection. But look, they've got two games against an opponent that I don't think in any way they embarrass themselves against last time. And there's this little feeling, this little bubbling underneath that perhaps they're a bit fitter, they're a bit wiser, that perhaps they can spring a surprise here.
How much do you think they'll have come on from the first game against Shelburne? Because they were totally outplayed in the first game in Tolka Park. The second leg was a lot tighter. They've obviously played competitive games since then. Do you think we'll see an entirely different Linfield?
I could not agree with you more. I felt exactly the same about the first game. I thought they looked totally overawed by the game, and they were lucky very much to take that slender defeat going up to Windsor Park. And yes, they were much better there, but I think really if Shells had went through the gears, it would have been a much bigger scoreline. It's really hard to tell with Linfield because they're a team who have been grinding out these results. Yes, they haven't been champions 3 years in a row, but they've kept this really strong standard where defensively they're often quite stout, but they sacrifice a bit of spice up top. And this might be the year where that slightly changes. Maybe they'll be able to stretch themselves a bit further because Kieran Offord is starting to show what he can do at the top of the pitch. He had little moments, I felt, against Shelburne as the games have went on. They look better. He's scoring for fun in recent times. So they'll hope if they can keep that stoutness at the back and a little bit of the magic factor with Offord, that they can spring a surprise here. It has to be a bit of difference, surely. Like, they haven't had a huge amount of games, but so far in Europe, bar a little wobble away at the Faroes, they look as though they've dealt with their opposition fairly well.
Of course, I've been on your podcast before and we've spoken about this, was the rise of the League of Ireland over the last number of years. The attendances are up. There's huge interest in the league. Now European results have played a big part in that. Is it fair to say the Northern Irish League has come on a lot as well? There was a time where some teams didn't take Europe seriously at all. We all remember managers and players going on their summer holidays instead of playing these European games. But we've seen Linfield knocking on the door now in the last couple of years. Laren obviously got through to the group stages last year. So do you think that the Northern Irish teams, they now fancy themselves when they go into ties like this?
They do, and there's no doubt about that. And I think Linfield getting so close a couple of years ago against RFS was that little crack in the door. There was a little bit of light where, oh my goodness, if it wasn't for the fact that they conceded late on, Linfield could have been playing European football. There's no doubt that this champion's path has been a massively beneficial for the Northern Irish clubs. It's how Laren got there, the way they would have got there last year without it. Linfield wouldn't have come close a couple of years ago without it. And look, here's the situation with the Irish League. We now have a number of professional teams, and with that, there's big wages and there's a lot of money being thrown about. That isn't sustainable without success in Europe. So in many ways, their whole point of being is based on games like this for Linfield against Shelburne. Now, there's been little whispers, and they are whispers at most, that maybe Linfield are thinking, you know what, maybe we could win the league without doing this whole full-time situation. And I think how they do in Europe over the next while could really decide how that project goes.
That's interesting.
They have to take it seriously.
That's interesting, because I was going to ask you, how strong are Linfield now compared to maybe 5-10 years ago? Because I know they lost their top goal scorer from last season to Coleraine, and you think of Linfield and you almost think of a bit like Bayern Munich, the big club in their league, and they can go and pick off the best players from their rivals. Are Linfield still in a position to do that? How strong are they now as an overall club compared to maybe 5 or 10 years ago?
Laren humbled them. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Laren came in, yes, they were the money club, but in every aspect, they took what being a full-time club was supposed to be very seriously. Lots of investment in youth, in coaching, within the stadium, trying to bring a club who was a middling side in the championship at best, a regional nobody, and try to take it right to the top of the league. No one believed they were going to do it, but they did it, if you can say, the right way, because they did it by just being very astute in the transfer window, building up, picking out the best players in the Irish League. And I don't think it's unfair to say that maybe Linfield thought, you know, we're the big Belfast side here. We are often the team that can just cherry pick all the best players. And until really there was red and white ribbons round the Gibson Cup 3 years ago, did Linfield really step up? Because they were very much happy being the side that are winning it 5-6 seasons in a row. The fact that Laren got in before Linfield last year in the group phase, making history for the Irish League. There's, that irks Linfield fans and it irks people within that club. So there is pressure here, not only from just getting the finances point of view, for David Healy wanting to establish his legacy at Linfield, but they want to show, yes, we missed out on getting on it, but we're back at the top again after winning the league last year. And a part of being that prestige club is getting into Europe, doing exactly what Lauren did.
And on the league itself, there was a lot of discussion after the first game in Tolka between Shelburne and Linfield about the difference in the fitness levels on the day between the two teams, because Shelburne, obviously midway through their season, Linfield had only played the Community Shield at that stage. Has there been any more discussion within the Northern Irish League about maybe transitioning to a summer league? I know that's something Pat Fenlon has called for time after time. We've seen the benefits of it in the League of Ireland with the European results. Where is that discussion now within Northern Irish football?
I feel as though the conversation around it, well, first and foremost, Gerard Lawler, the CEO of NIFL, the Irish League, he says there will be a vote on this within the next 5 years. We're probably a year and a half into that promise. The mood seems to be within the top teams, the full-time teams, Glentoran, Linfield, especially Lorn, and maybe you'd add in Coleraine now as this top team. They're the big money side at the minute. That realistically, they probably would prefer summer football, but there's definitely a bit of blowback from fans. And there just seems to be this big divide between teams who really don't see themselves as having any chance of going full-time anytime soon. Them looking at it going, the Summer League just doesn't feel like it's going to benefit them. But I think there's definitely an agenda to get that question answered. I just don't know how it would go. It could be a real split between the absolute top teams who are going for Europe every year and the teams that are 8th, 7th and 9th who are saying, you know what, it's just easier the way we go. Because maybe you've seen a wee bit of that with Drogheda, like there is some teams in the middle of the Irish League who are benefiting from not being full-time, that they can just pick up all the best players who aren't willing to give up their career. So I think we're still finding our feet. I think the Irish League is definitely 15 years at least behind the League of Ireland from various factors, from fan base, from TV, from how we do things professionally. So we're just seeing how it feels. But I think something decisive will happen in the next five. What way it'll go, I just can't tell.
Very, very interesting. Come here, give us your prediction. Who's going through in this leg? Will it be Linfield or will it be Shells?
I think, unfortunately for Linfield, I think Shelburne just have that experience that will see them home. If I do actually think that they're already thinking of Windsor Park right now. I think Shells will probably win 2-0 at home. Linfield might get a goal to try and chase it at home and think they can believe all of a sudden. But it's all about how that first tie will go. I think there's a quiet little bit of optimism that they've seen the whites of Shelburne's eyes. Yeah. And yes, you mentioned there, they don't have Joel Cooper, who was their main player, but Offord looks to have filled that in. They're stout, slightly boring infield. It's just keeping it straight at the back. Across two ties, it's going to be 3-1 Shelburne.
I'd have to agree. I think the first leg is where this will be decided. Shelburne, as dominant as they were in the original meeting, they have struggled to break teams down. Linfield sat in very deep. They've struggled to score a lot of goals even last season when they won the league. So if Linfield can get back to Belfast, even one down, I think the tie is very much alive. Before we let you go, just on a couple of other League of Ireland and NIFL crossovers, Patrick Hooban has gone up there. How do you see him getting on this season?
I think he's going to smash the league. He's a player that seems really hungry. Like, he's definitely not in Tiernan Lynch's. Yeah, Tiernan Lynch is not on his Christmas card list. No. He's spoken openly about how frustrated he was. I mean, the man has the stature, the man has the pedigree, and the big question was going to be, would he have seen this as one last payday and a bit of a holiday league? We've yet to see him touch a blade of grass in the league proper just yet. But I think he could be a real talisman, and he might not be someone that's going to, not really his game to be fair, but I don't think he's going to dominate teams in play. I just think he's going to score a lot from nothing. I think he's going to feed on scraps, and he's just going to be the player that will bring together a team who's trying to reformat themselves in Glentoran. But there's no doubt he's a massive signing in this league at this level.
And you mentioned Coleraine earlier on. They've been spending a few pounds. Rory Higgins is in charge there. Could they challenge for the title this season?
they're my picks to win it, because I think where they've invested in is right at the top of the pitch. And oftentimes the big games at the top of the league can often be touchy affairs. Maybe this is just how Linfield and others approach it, where it's their 0-0, 1-0s, and the real problem can often be the fact that, you know, you're giving up points against other teams where you can't break them down because so many teams are just going to sit back. I think they have the players. You mentioned the big player there in Cooper for Linfield, who's probably one of the biggest transfers in recent Irish League history, going from the champions, and they were champions elect come January, going for the big deal in Coleraine. And that's, they pretty much said, we're getting the best player in the league, and they have him. Outside of that, Will Patching, I know, I'm sure you'll know a bit about other players up and down that spine. I think they would do pretty okay. Not saying they'd be top half, but I think they would survive in the League of Ireland. That's how much I believe in just the physicality and the talent that they have. The question is, and what everybody's kind of hoping for here, is that because there's so many new players who have come in, that they're going to take a bit of time to gel. I think the quality is of just such high degree, is that it might take a few games to get it going, but especially if Linfield sneak through, and obviously that's not exactly on the cards at the minute, I just think they'll score more than they concede, and they will surprise people.
Peter, as our listeners can hear, you know the niffle inside out. So thanks so much for joining us. For anyone that wants to maybe keep a track of the Northern Irish Premiership this season, how can they do so?
So I run a podcast called Kicking Match. You can find it on there. In fact, if you just search Irish League Podcast, hopefully my little red diamond and Shamrock will come up. Look, I think what's interestingly about our leagues, we're definitely cousins or brothers or sisters or whatever we may call it. That game between Lorne and Shamrock Rovers was a humbling for us, but I think many of us still look quite green-eyed at what you guys have achieved in the past 10, 15 years, and you never know. It could be a more competitive rivalry in years to come.
Please so. Peter, thanks so much for your time, and we'll speak again soon.
Thanks, Rob.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net, or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Yeah, thanks to Peter for joining us on the show to look ahead to that tie between Shells and Linfield over the next couple of weeks. Guys, what's your gut feeling on this? Did they have enough to go through?
I think they do. I think it's going to be a different set of games than what we saw in the first go of it. I think Linfield will be out to give them something back. There's more, I don't want to say there's more on the line, but like, European football is at stake now. Last chance saloon for both. I do feel Shelburne will get through, but I don't think it'll be a very easy tie. I know that's very uncommittal comment there, but I think Linfield will be more wide than them now.
Yeah, I think as I said to Peter there in the interview, I really do think it all hinges on the first leg.
Does, yeah. Like Shells need to be, you know, we even said it at the time, like it's going to be tricky to, or it's going to be tricky because Shell's only 1-1-0. And I know Linfield missed a couple of really great chances up there.
Winter. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think they can leave anything on the table. Shells have to be far more productive in front of goal.
Right, let's move into the BTS LOI Podcast Predictions League, and we're going to look ahead to the Premier Division games first. Just update listeners on what happened last week. The Cup games, we did go through all the Cup games on last week's show. Poor showing again from us last week. I got 2 points. I only got Salt.
Excuse me?
Hang on now. I got Salt Hill Galway, obviously the result, and I got Rovers Longford, the result there. So 2 points. So you got Salt Hill Galway, the result. Then you got the result right in Derry Drogheda, the fact that it would be a draw. You were right that Drogheda would progress on penalties. And since you were right about Luke Dennison as well, I've given you an extra bonus point on top. So you got 3 points for that game. So you got 4 points in total. And Sean Kennedy, who was playing, he got 4 points as well.
Listeners, please tweet us if you think one bonus point for me predicting Lewis or Luke Dennison to make two saves in the penalty shootout, as he did, is fair.
Do you want another bonus point on top of that?
I want another 10 bonus points for that. That was a great shout.
Greed. That's greed. I would have given you another one. No, you've talked yourself out of it. So,
The listeners, can speak to me.
I'll take the backlash from the listeners.
We'll revisit this next week.
No podcast next week.
Yeah.
So this is how the table stands. I'm bottom on 136. You're second on 146. And listeners are on the top of the table with 167 points. And the Twitter user playing this week is Tractor Monthly. No idea about the naming of that account, whether he's, you know, into tractors. Nothing wrong with that. But welcome along. Good to have him on the show. And we've got Waterford against Sligo to kick things off. He's going for a 2-1 win to Sligo Rovers here.
The fact that this is down in the RSC kind of makes me a bit nervous. I would almost fancy Sligo, but I think...
I fancy Sligo.
Do you? Yeah. What are you thinking?
Yeah. I'm thinking 2-1 to Sligo Rovers. I think the fact it's in the RSC, I think actually might play it to Sligo's strength. They're a very good counter-attacking team, and Waterford, a bit of a free-going kind of style about them. I think they'll leave chances at the back. I think we've got a few tweets in the hotline actually about the Waterford defence this season, and that's where they're falling down consistently. And I think they might fall down here. I'm going to go 2-1 Sligo Rovers.
Okay, I'll play tactical. I'll go 2-1 Sligo as well. I feel a 1-1 though here. I think, you know, John Russell would be happy with a point away from home, another one on the board, particularly with Cork travelling to Dalymount. Might be like, okay, another point splitting, you know, adding to the gap. But yeah, I'll play tactical here. I'll go 2-1.
Galway against Derry. Two teams that are struggling for form. But one of them's in the FAI Cup and one is not. So there you go.
Yeah. I'd be feeling Galway here. I think it's going to be a draw, though. I'm going to go for a 1-1. I think Galway will play well enough and maybe, you know, Michael Duffy to dig them out of a hole.
Great goal from Duffy the other night, but again, it speaks to what we're saying, like take him out with that team, and they're quite average despite all the money they spent.
Pure average. Like he has been carrying them on his back.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't know how his back isn't broken in two. The number of times this season he's dragged them out of a hole. It was a sensational finish, and I don't think we mentioned that when we were talking about the game, to be honest. It was a class goal. Probably given a bit too much time in that position, knowing what he can do. But yeah, he really knows how to boot it into the net. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, so you're going 1-1.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 0-0 and Tractor Monthly 1-1 as well. Drogheda United against St. Pat's. I think I might be going over to this on Friday.
Not going to Kerry, no?
No, I can't get to Kerry. I'm gutted. I actually was really, really looking forward to travelling down there. And just the way things worked out. So I'll go to this instead, only over the road. I don't think I've seen Pats in the flesh yet this season, so that'll be good. So, yeah, give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good game. Melia, watch out for Melia horsing himself onto the ground, will you? And you can report back on next week's show. I think it'll be a very, very tight game. But I think Drogheda will create some chances.
Last three have been 0-0.
Yeah, I'm going to go 1-0 Drogheda, though.
You're going to go 1-0 to Drogheda, okay. Mm-hmm. Tractor Monthly going the same.
And actually, can I go for a bonus point here?
Go on.
Connor Keeley with a header.
That's too obvious, but yeah, I'll give that to you if it happens. Too obvious. It's former club. I can't see it happening. I will go 0-0 just to be tactical here. I hope it's a better game than that, but the fact that I'm going to it probably won't be. So that's probably the way to go, 0-0. Bows against Cork.
It could only be one winner here, really. Like, come on. Do you know?
Well, you thought there was only going to be one winner the other night against Sligo, and look what happened. Or were you not that surprised by that?
Did we not say Sligo?
No, you went 2-1 Bows.
Oh, did I? Yeah.
I went for a draw, actually. I see here. I went Bowes on penalties, though, so I had less faith maybe in Bowes than you did. But
I was probably like, maybe I laid into a bit of the Jersey hype and the whole lot. But then again, it's Bowes. Like, I couldn't have done that.
Nah, normal service to resume here. Well, not normal service, but Cork losing maybe. 2-0 Bowes.
Yeah, I did actually see, I don't know if you might have saw it online, a bit of chirping against Tierney. Did you see that?
No, didn't see any of that.
Yeah, lots of people, he was called out specifically for, you know, overrunning the ball and not being what we kind of become used to with him and Devoy in the middle. I'm going to go for a 2-0 win to Bowes.
Okay, and Tractor Monthly going the same, so we're all in agreement there. Right, we're going to go into the First Division ones very, very shortly. Before that, our final guest of the evening is Kevin Fernandez from the Long Ball Football Podcast, and he is a Portuguese football expert. He's going to tell us all about Shamrock Rovers' European opponents this week, Santa Clara. Now, I'm delighted to say we are going to get some insight into Shamrock Rovers' European opponents this week. That's, of course, Santa Clara. Joining us on this week's show is Kevin Fernandez from the Long Ball Football Podcast. Kevin, it's absolutely great to have you along with us. A big weekend for Irish football, and a big week, I should say, for Santa Clara as well, because from what I understand, they've had a bit of a kind of a rise to stardom in the last couple of years.
100%. First of all, thanks for having us on. It's always great to be talking about one of the lesser known Portuguese sides escaping the big three, usually, that I talked about. To be fair, they kept a lot of the base from their squad from when they went down a couple of years ago, but they've shot right back up to the upper echelons of the league, finished in fifth last season. And this is their reward. Nice little European run. So let's see if it can keep going. I'm pretty sure that not everyone's going to want to hear that, but I'm pretty sure they're in with a good chance.
Yeah, so they were in the second division a couple of years ago, and they've come back up. And as you said, they finished fifth last season. But you kind of touched on it there. There are the three or even four big clubs in Portugal that everyone's familiar with: your Sportings, Bragas, Benficas, Portos. There's a huge gap then. If you look at the league table, I can't remember how many points Santa Clara were behind the teams above them last season, but I believe it was quite a sizable gap. So in terms of the rest of the teams playing in the Portuguese league, what's the standard like?
It's a decent standard. I'm not going to lie to you and say that it's anywhere remotely close to the four or even five clubs, if you want to count Vitória, who have had a couple of European runs in the past. There is a sizable gap, and it's natural because you're talking about Santa Clara, a team that will sometimes struggle to have 5,000 fans in their stadium. And then you have Porto, Sporting, Benfica. They're always having 50,000. It's like you have three clubs that are realistically bigger than the country that they're in. Not to try and like criticize Portugal, but it's just completely disproportional. So given their standard and the conditions that Santa Clara have, especially as an island club, having to travel twice as much as any other team, it is very impressive what they're doing. And relative to what they can do and the conditions that they have, they are playing it's a very good standard, respectively. It's not as offensively exciting as perhaps one of the biggest sides or what a lot of people would like, but they're very compact, they're very competent, and they cause a lot of teams a lot of problems, both at home and away, for that reason.
In terms of budgets, what kind of ballpark figures were we talking about for Santa Clara compared to the other big clubs in Portugal?
Oh, a very, very small fraction. Very small fraction. And as I mentioned, it's very much hurt by the fact that there's not a lot of support for these island sides, because Santa Clara, obviously, from the Azores, they have a lot more travel. They have a lot more in terms of upkeep of their pitch because the weather conditions are very shaky at times. Shamrock are coming over at a good time to the Azores because known as much as the other islands of Portugal, Madeira, sometimes it can be very difficult to get a match even played. In terms of conditions, just as a club, it's usually very difficult for these clubs to sustain themselves and to become as competitive in terms of budgets because they have to revert a lot of resources away from the playing squad. But Santa Clara, who have outside investors, they've been able to do that and to stabilise at a very alarming, a very shockingly good rate.
I'm actually just looking at the weather conditions here for Thursday, and it looks like there's a little bit of rain forecast for Thursday, which I'm sure Shamrock Rovers will be glad to see if it does come, because I know my sister's actually at a wedding in Portugal at the moment, and 39 degrees is the temperature she was reporting back to me the other day. So Rovers naturally wouldn't want to be in conditions like that.
No, that's ridiculous. Even you can see the strain sometimes within the league, just domestic matches. So I'm sure Shamrock would not be too delighted at those conditions if they were to play out.
I'm not sure how much you know about the League of Ireland, but again, outside of the top three or four or five clubs in Portugal, how do you think a club like Santa Clara will match up against Ireland's best?
I've got good hopes, just because I know that Santa Clara's fundamentals are very good. They're very defensively compact, solid, and they hit on the break very well. So even if they do see themselves on the cosh a little bit against a side that, I'm going to be perfectly honest, I'm not too familiar with, you can be confident in Santa Clara, just because you know that they're not a one-trick horse. They can sit back. They can control the ball as they did against Larne, from the neighbours in Northern Ireland, and do well, perform well and impress. So that would be what I'd look out for from Santa Clara, because usually they are very defensively solid. They are very threatening on the break. And for that reason, even not knowing the competition, you can expect a good showing from them, because in the past, Portugal have brought, obviously, you have your Braga, Porto, Sporting, Benfica going to the bigger European competitions, especially since the Conference League has come into fruition. Usually there is a bit of a struggle to get a fifth side in there and to perform well, just because usually is an outsider without that much European experience. Santa Clara, as we have mentioned before, they have been around Europe previously, so it's not completely unfamiliar to them. And for those two reasons, I'd say that they're in a very good chance of going forward.
It's a bit of a strange tie in some ways, though. You think of a club coming from Portugal, and you think of a club coming from Ireland. Shamrock Rovers have much more recent European experience than Santa Clara. I think this will be only Santa Clara's maybe eighth or ninth European tie overall. Shamrock Rovers were in the group stages of the Conference League last season. We're very unlucky not to get through to the quarterfinals as well. So that's something that might stand to Shamrock Rovers, maybe that greater experience they have in Europe in recent years.
Definitely. If Shamrock Rovers get onto the ball, start creating chances early, then Santa Clara can definitely feel the pressure. And with that relative inexperience in comparison, they could feel some difficulties, especially looking at their league form at the moment, because of juggling these European and domestic responsibilities. They've had four matches in 10 days and their league form has seen the hit because of that. So as seen against Famalicão, I'll use that as an example, just because they saw two goals go in within the first 20 minutes. They lost 3-0 in the end. They looked very lethargic because of the European responsibility, perhaps not being used to the two games a week. And Famalicão took advantage because they were very aggressive from the off and the goals just happened to go in. They took a couple of shots and both of them went in. In fact, I'm pretty sure they took six shots the whole game for Malikau and three of them went in. So perhaps it's down to Shamrock Rovers to really take initiative and make the most out of that fact.
Is there any star players we need to be looking out for?
I'd say a couple of the attackers are quite promising. Gabriel Silva, he's the standout, very tricky Brazilian winger. He's usually linked with moves away, just being really the creative spark of the team. And probably Vinicius Lopes, who's another winger. He plays on the other side, but he's more of like that inside forward. So he's just looking for space to get in behind, score the goals. He was their top goal scorer last season.
And overall, Portuguese football, how's it doing at the minute overall, the entire league? It's probably the little brother, I suppose, to La Liga maybe, but for some, but Portuguese teams have had great success in Europe as well. So how's the league overall at the moment? How strong do you feel it is?
It's a bit of a weird one at the moment, because Sporting, my team, actually, they're stronger than ever, it seems. I've never seen them this strong as long as I've been living. Porto had one of their worst seasons last season. They look to be resurging quite quickly. Benfica is a bit of a 50-50 at the moment. So, and the thing is, last season, the title race, it was a little bit underwhelming. It looked for a while they was going to be who's the least worse that was going to win the league. And the general standard is a cross between being good in terms of getting the recruits, bringing them in and selling them on. There's a lot more of a divide in that sense of revenue being split across the teams. Them having that sort of system to look for the talent from even like the second divisions of Brazil, Spain, bringing them in, having them a good season and selling them for 5-6 million, which for these clubs is very, very significant money. But in terms of the style of play, it's often quite poor just because Portugal are known for having referees who are very whistle happy. It's a lot of fouls, a lot of the time the ball is out of play and it's not really compensated. There is that struggle. Obviously, having a few select clubs that are much above the competition, it does have its impact as well on styles of play, and everyone knowing that they're eventually going to have to adopt a defence first sort of style. And other than that, looking just as a league as a whole, it's a little bit disappointing because the Netherlands and Belgium, looking at the coefficients, they are right behind Portugal. Not too long ago, Portugal was considered the fifth or the sixth best league. If the current trajectory continues over the next couple of seasons, they might be looking at seventh, if not eighth. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag because there's a lot to get excited about in terms of individual talents. Obviously, looking Sporting, Porto, Benfica, they've always got exciting talent among their ranks. Braga coming into it with an exciting academy as well. Looking at the likes of Trincão, which people will know. Looking even at Roger Fernandes, who've been linked with moves away. You can look at the individuals and see talents and want to look at the league because of that. But as a whole, I say that there was definitely better days looking at even about 10, 15 years ago when Porto and Braga and Benfica were all reaching the semi-finals of the Europa League. I think those days are slightly a little bit away, unfortunately.
Mm, that's very interesting. Finally, before we let you go, Kevin, what's your own story? How have you got so involved in Portuguese football?
No, I've actually got Portuguese parents. So despite living in England, as I said, I support Sporting. I've always been interested in Portuguese football. I'm a football journalist now, so I always try and incorporate Portuguese football into my writing. And that's really the reason for being so interested, because at times it does get a little bit difficult. Sporting, as a lot of people will maybe know, they went through a league drought of 20 years. I'm 22 years old, so it was a little bit difficult at times to carry on following. But that's it. As much as the standard may be a little bit looked down upon by the superior leagues with more investment, obviously Portugal being a small in relation country with about 11 million people, is a little bit difficult to compete, but it's never a dull moment. And I'm pretty sure Santa Clara will bring up a couple of good games against Shamrock Rovers for that reason.
Yeah, that sounds a bit like the League of Ireland, to be honest. We understand that the league maybe been looked down on at times, but it gives us great drama for those of us that follow it. So before we let you go, the podcast you do with the lads, you want to tell us a bit more if there's any of our listeners that maybe want to keep an ear to the ground for Portuguese football this season? Give us the details.
Yeah, so I'm at Longball Football Podcast at the moment. I've joined along this season. I was a guest a little bit earlier on, but it's me, Andrew, Barney and Albert, basically just talking about all things Portuguese football. Try and keep it not only to the big major clubs, obviously Benfica, Porto, Sporting, as you might imagine. Try and cover the smaller teams, and I say that lightly, obviously, just like Santa Clara. And basically, if there's ever a team or a player or a manager that's linked away with a big move, we're always going to cover them. And if anyone's more interested just in Portuguese football in general, obviously I will recommend that you check them out.
Very, very good. Thanks so much for your time. It'll be a very interesting European tie, I think. Be interesting to see how it pans out. But yeah, thanks for joining us, Kevin.
Yep, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, well, what's your thoughts on that one, Gaz? It's a really, really intriguing tie, I suppose. A lot of us don't really know a whole pile about Santa Clara, hence why we had Kevin on there to tell us a little bit more. I think I quietly fancy Rovers' chances.
Mm.
If they don't blow their leg clean off in the away leg.
Yeah, well, obviously, that's that'd be important. They've started the league in Portugal there a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
and Santa Clara lost their first two. But like, this is a different level. Now, I will say one thing. Like, I went to a couple of Portuguese matches there. In March, and like when you drop out of the first lock of lads,
yeah, that team gets, I think was
it gets fairly agricultural.
We couldn't remember the name of the team that you had gone to, and I had commented on. Was it Casapia by any chance? Was that who you went to? No,
I think it was Casapia.
Yeah.
Shit. Hold on now. Hold on.
Or was it Estrella? No.
Estrella Amadora. Estrella. That's what.
Yeah. I commented on them as well. Yeah.
So Estrella, like, you know, it's no card accepted on the gate. You know, this type of idea. Like, one, I went with two of the lads, and like one of them had a 50. We would have just had to turn around. Do you know what I mean? Like, no one even had a card with them. So we were lucky there. But like when you
as I said on last, yeah, there's a huge gulf between the top four or five and everyone else.
Yeah, but then again, they're still playing against top opposition a lot.
That is true.
So I think it would be.
I'm just trying to see, because
touch and go here for Rovers.
He didn't give me a direct answer when I asked him there, Kevin. But just in terms of Santa Clara's budget, I'm just going to see. I know transfer market is only kind of an estimation, but it'd be interesting to see. So they've got a squad of 28 players, and 18 of them are foreigners, which is always a good indication of the money that, you know, a club has. Their squad is valued by transfer market at 42.5 million. Just going to see what Shamrock Rovers are valued at. Again, now this is totally estimation job, but Rovers are valued at 4.83 million. So,
yeah, wouldn't hang me hat on that now, obviously, but I'm going to say the game on Thursday. Where is that?
It's in Portugal.
Okay. I think they can do something. I think they have to, you know, if it's going to be a loss out there, they're going to have to keep it respectable, bring an opportunity back. And actually, here's the story. Now, I heard this story about who were the boys that they played that they bet last week?
The Balcani.
Yeah, Balcani. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
They didn't book a home flight. They thought they were going to beat the shite out of Rovers. They were going to stay in Dublin and then head on to the next place. They had no flight booked home.
Jesus.
So they had to like scramble after they got the bet asunder. I'd say after, what was it, half time comes along, oh shit, I better get on to Skyscanner here and book the flight home. So, yeah, thought that was mad.
I'm just looking now again. I don't know how accurate this site is. I don't even know what site I've ended up on here. I'm on a rabbit hole on the internet here, but it's the average wage of the players.
Yeah.
And the highest paid player is on €8,000 a week. And then there's any amount of boys on €5,000 a week. So, but then there's a few lads, you know, on 3, 4, 1 and a bit. So it's not
Rovers
that
level of money there.
They have a few top earners, but I think Rovers will mix it.
Yeah, so do I.
As long as you know, just keep the first leg tidy. 1-0 defeat will do.
Yeah, no bullshit. No booting it into your own net. No falling across it in your own box or killing a lad. Just don't act the tit with it.
Not the next podcast we do, the one after that, we could be talking about two Irish teams in group stages.
We could.
Just imagine that.
Well, it's not on for town, lads. It's great,
class.
But it's not.
Be a nightmare for the TV companies too.
Oh, it would, yeah. Big problemo.
So, Rovers to do it?
Over the two legs, yeah. But yeah. I think I'll go...
No, we don't need. That'll do. Rovers to do it. I agree. Right, into the predictions league for the first division, and we will start with Cove against UCD. Tractor Monthly goes 3-1 to Cove.
Like they had a bit of Oki Momo there against Kerry. Did we talk about that game?
I don't think we did. Actually, did I skip over that one?
I think you did.
Yeah, I didn't write it down for some reason. Apologies, Cove listeners, but or Kerry listeners more so.
Yeah,
it was a real disaster of a game. Like, Jesus Christ, what was it? 1 minute gone and your man sent off.
Yeah. After all our talk last week about Kerry's disciplinary record.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Colby too sent off in the game, didn't they?
They did. And they went down to, you know, I think that really gave Kerry an opportunity. Really good opening goal strike on the volley from the edge of the box. So within 10 minutes of kickoff, it was in a heap for Cove. And even like I say, they gave away a penalty in the second half. And actually, for people that haven't seen it, it was probably one of the most blatant pushes in the back inside the box that you're ever going to see. And it was so, so, so stupid. Like, your man deserves an absolute kicking. He should have been made to walk home to Cove. It was that stupid. And you know, like, even if you were down to, you know, 10 or 9 men or whatever it was and 1-0 down away from home, you still had a bit of quality in the team that you could have, you know, resurrected it to a degree. And then to do something stupid like that was just criminal stuff.
Shane Griffin sent off at the very end for a second yellow. He scored a couple of bangers against Longford recently, so he'll be suspended for this game as Will O'Donovan that was sent off as well. So without a couple of key players, UCD's away form has been excellent this season. I'd fancy UCD to go down here and get something.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-2.
2-2 you're going. I'm going to play a little safer on 1-1. And as I said, track the monthly 3-1 to Cove. Treaty against Dundalk. Can Treaty complete the season unbeaten against Dundalk?
I think they can. It's a bit unimpressed with them against Longford a couple of weeks ago. Thought the defending at times was quite poor. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
You're going for a 1-1 draw.
I think just their history against Dundalk this season is going to just last on again. So
I suppose to flip it to Dundalk, a couple of interesting developments there. Dane Massey going in as a first-team coach, an absolute legend of the club, 5-time league winner. But Liam Burns leaving, and that's created a lot of chatter online. Now, I don't really know the insides and outsides of what's gone on there, but a lot of fans...
We're not consulted, no?
A lot of fans asking for an explanation of what's gone on, because he is a long, long time stalwart of that club, not just a coach, but I think he was their community man as well. He's been around a long time. Of course, he took caretaker charge when... Who was it that left?
O'Donnell
left, yeah. He took up caretaker with Brian Gartland at the time, thought he'd done a really good job. I wouldn't know him personally at all. Obviously, we'd know Dane from having him on the pod here a couple of times. Absolute gentleman. Great to see someone like that coming into the league. I didn't even know he was involved in coaching at all. But great to see, you know, someone with so many league medals and so much experience at European nights coming back into the game. But that's a strange one. And I think I've seen a comment on the Dundalk Facebook page, and I thought it summed it up really well. It was just a supporter saying, you know, the club is looking for us to, you know, hand money over and try and dig them out of a tight situation. That they've got loads of different things going on at the moment. There are different kind of fundraisers, like
they're the biggest budget in the league.
Yeah, but you know, to buy a brick and all that, they've got a few different things going on at the minute. And someone said, you know, you're looking for money to be handed over, and then, you know, you're not being transparent with what's going on. And you know, kind of a great man that's done so much for the club, just leaving without much explanation, you know, because I can see why it might be a bit problematic for Dundalk. But anyway, on this game itself, wasn't overly impressed with Treaty myself either. I think I'll follow you though and go for a 1-1.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think that like they have stock, obviously, this season, but they did create a couple of chances against Longford, and they just were very, very not clinical on the night. I thought Longford were quite good, obviously. But I think, you know, that particularly, yeah, I think Tommy will be able to like create a situation that they can get points out of this game.
Interesting to see what type of crowd turns up for this one, because as we spoke about on last week pods, all is not well at the Markets Field at the moment. But you know, Dundalk coming to town, will it draw a few?
Well, what's wrong with them now?
We spoke about this last week. Just a lot of
discontent, the, you know, the comments been turned off, all that type of stuff.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Jesus, a week is a long time in football.
I'm not sure they have that Q&A. Yeah, I can't remember what. I think
that's next week, isn't it?
I can't remember now, to be entirely honest. So we'll see. Right. So anyway, 1-1, 1-1, and Tractor Monthly 2-1 Dundalk. Finn Harps against Athlone Town. Great chance for Harps here to close the gap on the playoff places.
1,000,000%.
Bastian Heary, the latest player to leave Athlone, he signed for Lucan.
I think he had left, maybe unofficially left earlier, like before. So yeah, so
leave the football before the football leaves you. That Jamie Carragher quote. Not that I'm a fan of Carragher, to be honest, but
right, yes, yeah, interesting. I know people listen to the podcast, and we've absolutely no stock in the game, because we just love talking about the about League of Ireland, but like. Turned into some type of oracle has Jamie Carragher, which is mad. But anyway,
you were nearly inconsolable at the start of the season on this pod when I suggested that Bastian Heary leaving Longford wasn't much of a loss. I think I was proven right on this one.
I wouldn't say inconsolable. Like the thing for Bastian for me was like some of the stuff that he was able to do. Was really good.
A broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah. But, yeah
if you
but,
put me in the middle of the park, I'd probably pick one pass out every so often.
No, but like, well, no.
Well, no, I wouldn't.
Yeah, let's come on now. I know what you're saying. I think maybe he was a luxury player coming to the end of his career. And Longford Town probably weren't the right team for him to be playing at.
Well, Jesse's been at a good few teams now the last few years, and it doesn't.
No,
seem
I know that.
The right team.
Yeah, but I would say there was definitely times he put in some really great performances for Longford Town. I know you don't agree with that necessarily.
You can't say Aaron Doran's a huge upgrade on him.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
So he wasn't a lot.
So Longford Town did well, and like to be fair, I was impressed with Bastian Heary from last season in a good few games.
You can just say you were right. I got this one right.
Yeah, whatever, man.
Thanks. That's grand. That's all I needed. Yeah. Finn Harps at loan. Prediction, please.
What did you say to me a moment ago? A stop clock is right twice a day, huh?
Yeah.
We're more talking about yourself. Anyway, who are we talking about now? Go on.
Finn Harps at loan. Tractor Monthly going for a... And I think he's a Harps fan, if I'm not wrong. He's going for a scrappy 1-0 win to Harps. You'd like to think it'd be more comfortable than that.
Well, it wouldn't hang me hat on that now either. Harps have like had some really good results of late.
I'm just trying to see clean sheet wise how many have Harps kept. Beat Kerry 1-0, beat UCD 3-0. Not had a huge amount of them, but they've had a few. They'll get another one here, 2-0 to Finn Harps.
I'm going to go 2-1 to Harps.
Fair enough, that's probably a better one. Kerry against Longford, you will be there, I won't, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I will be there. I'm looking forward to it.
You getting the big guard down?
No, I'm driving.
Ah, jeez, no. I wouldn't fancy that now.
Yeah. Well, we've done it a few times, lad.
I know. Don't need to be reminded.
That night, remember the car was stinking on the way back because we were so wet, soaked to the skin.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we got a good kebab that night.
Yeah, no kebab. And you didn't go for one after the game in Tala, no?
No, it was
how could a man eat after that?
Yeah. I actually got a McDonald's closer to home.
Jeez, would you believe so did I? What did you go for?
I went for the Big Arch.
Oh.
And I got some spicy nuggets on top of it.
Ah, no.
I saw a certain Shamrock Rovers player in there after. Now this is this was in Sulorgan McDonald's. What was he going for, I don't rightly know. No, it was a medium meal. I do know that.
No large allowed.
Probably no large allowed. Yeah, yeah.
How the league has come on.
Shocking. God, a few years ago, that would have been 14 pints.
I went for the 20 chicken nuggets, share box and chips. I didn't eat them all myself.
She's letting the side down, for God's sake.
That
wouldn't even hit on the Richter scale at all, lad.
Oh, jeez, I had a bad experience with them spicy nuggets before.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Yeah, had the shites.
Right, great. Good to know.
Yeah, so there was this week's food review.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Big Arch, thumbs up or thumbs down on the Big Arch?
Yeah, it was okay.
There's a good wallop of cheese on that, is there?
Yeah, it's like white cheese or something like that. It was tasty enough, but like it's nearly a bit too big. Like it's hard to It's not hard to manage.
Is that a triple stacked one?
No.
No, they had one a couple of years ago. It was a triple stacked burger.
Right.
It was just a complete mess. Couldn't eat it.
Fair enough.
So yeah, I agree with you. You need to be able to get a good firm grip of it. Get the jaw around it.
Cool.
Right, Kerry Longford.
I think the only question for me is, it's very important that Longford don't just go, well, we had our moment in the sun on Sunday
and die.
Yeah. So I think a lot of the players that were involved in the game on Sunday, and even some of them weren't, will be able to look at that team and go, right, we have something here. We've had to work extremely hard together. They surely will be able to get a win on the board, which would be a huge option, or not a huge option, but like a huge shot in the arm for the rest of the season, particularly with a huge record down there.
Yeah, we just spoke as well about Harps, and we all expect them to beat Athlone. If they do that and Longford don't win, Longford are big outsiders all of a sudden.
Big Okimomo, yeah, 100%. So, I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Longford Town.
Yeah, it really needs to be.
They cannot sleepwalk into going 1-0 down or not this bullshit that we've seen down in Kerry. It seems to be like, you know, crossing a few rivers across this island. Sometimes gets into the brain of Longford Town.
Yeah.
Following, like I said, you know, that even that result down there earlier on this year was a 2-0 loss. And a super penalty given away.
Yeah, red card as well. Yeah.
All of that bullshit is just completely illegal for this game for Longford Town. They need to turn it on, keep focused, and drag it out of it. So 2-1 to the Town.
Oh, it's easier said than done. I don't like driving down there. I wouldn't like to be stuck on a bus. It can't be easy to get off the bus, get ready to go, you know. But that's part of being a professional footballer. I'm going to go for a draw, 1-1. I think next week there'll be a winnable game against Wexford. This is a sticky fixture, as we've seen in the past. Tractor Monthly seems to agree he's going for a 2-2 draw, but no one expecting Longford to lose, which is
up the boys.
Finally, Wexford against Bray.
Really not impressed with Wexford all season, but is it going a bit soft now for Bray? I think we said last week that they're kind of out of it.
But out with the title, the playoffs are secured, pretty much.
Playoffs are secured, yeah, there's no doubt.
20 points ahead of sixth.
I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw here, but I do feel like Bray will win this.
Billy O'Neill will be suspended too, won't he?
He will. What are you thinking?
Sorry, what did you go for there?
I went for 1-1, but I can really see a Bray win.
Can you?
I can. I know Wexford had the week off though as well.
They don't win down there that often, Bray. Yeah, Wexford the week off is right. Jesus. I don't fancy Wexford to win.
No.
1-1. I think I've chucked in a few 1-1s this week, but that's another one. Tractor Monthly 3-1 to Bray, so no one fancies a Wexford win there, which says a lot about their season. Right, before we go, let's take a look at the BTS hotline. And on the hotline this week, if I can find it here. Sorry, folks, this is the same crack every week.
Yeah, same.
I'm just going to read out actually first who's winning the cup tweet that we put up earlier.
Aye.
Adam Norman said the real Rovers, so congratulations to Sligo. That's great to hear. Alan Kinsella, one of the Rovers. Someone said Shells, which is obviously a Russell. Nathan O'Reilly, Kerry, Billy Dorney, Cork City. Mumbo says Drogheda again, so good to see, you know, someone giving an actual prediction there. Dermot O'Leary, no one cares, he's a Derry fan. Andrew says Sligo Rovers. Pa says Sligo Rovers. Tatum says Pats. Eli says Galway. Conal says Drogheda, and Simon says Pats or Shamrock Rovers. So a good spread there across the across the predictions. Right, here's the BTS hotline for this week. Sam, Waterford fan, lack of investment at centre-back has killed any chance of a European push for us. Our back three each week is normally Burke, Leahy, McDonald, none of which are natural centre-backs.
Yeah.
Well, the only natural one, Horton, is currently playing right wing-back.
Been all over the shop, isn't it, at the back? And we've kind of seen that, and we've always kind of alluded to it, that like there's going to be a heap of goals given away, Leakey at the back. A few of the similar complaints that we've kind of always had about Waterford this season. Like they've conceded 46 goals.
Yeah, that's bad.
That is a lot of goals to be conceding.
Andy Boyle went down there, he's only played 15 games.
Yeah, well, I always thought that was a mad
so
mad transfer. It should never have actually occurred. They're actually level on goals conceded with Cork and Sligo.
Yeah, not good.
Really, yeah. So, yeah, look, we'll say Coleman mustn't be seeing enough of Horton or wants him out there. I don't really know how that's going to change, you know, get to the end of the season, do a bit of a rooting branch review, as the government always would be saying, and get some of his own lads in.
Zaki, after that robbery in Talla, have you the Santa Clara jersey ordered? Look, I hope Rovers go through, to be honest, but
yeah, well, look, it's maybe a ref's jersey we need after that.
Git was there. Kebabs had last night, as we discussed. No, there wasn't. No way a man could eat after that. Nathan O'Reilly, care to comment on Cove Ramblers' discipline against Kerry, since you mentioned in the last podcast how bad Kerry were in terms of getting yellow and red cards. Look, everyone's entitled to have a bad day. That's what Cove had. Kerry just seemed to have more of them than most teams.
Yeah, every game's a bad day for them.
We'll stand by our comments last week.
Yeah. I don't even know what them losing or beating a team that had a couple of lads sent off, like, once in a blue moon doesn't actually mean anything.
Christy Ryan, the way it goes on, 21 years since Cove Ramblers have beaten a League of Ireland team in the FA Cup. FAI Cup. I wasn't aware of that stat. That's remarkable.
It is remarkable, yeah. They were out of the league for a while.
Yeah.
In that process as well. But it is mad when you put it down like that. 21 years. They've never even got a team playing shite, caught someone on the hop. Mad to hear that something like that, truly.
Really is. Right, well, look, that's it for this week. Hopefully you have enjoyed that. Thanks to Peter and Kevin for joining us on the podcast. We'll be back again next week to look back on the first legs, look ahead to the second legs, and of course we'll be reacting to all those games that we've just previewed, and I'm sure plenty else will happen between now and next week. It is the greatest league in the world after all. So for this week, from myself, Kieran Burt, from Gary Riley, from our sponsor Quinn AV, check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, light and AV solutions. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you're following or subscribing on whatever platform you're enjoying the pod weekly. Feel free to leave us a comment on the Spotify or get us on Twitter, and until then, we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.